Welcome to Harmony Primitive Baptist Church.
Your pulpit is very high for me. Yeah. I think it's not good for a Filipino like me. Well, I was so grateful that this church has supporting some ministries in the Philippines. When my son, Brother Paul, talked to me before we go here, he said, "Daddy, say hello for me to Brother Dale Palin and also to Brother Dan Salmon." I will, my son, tell them about your situation. Before, my son, he worked as a seaman in a cruise ship. His salary is good. But after 3 months he worked there, he gave me a call and he said, "Daddy, the Lord called me to preach." I told him, "What, my son? We have no money to support you." "Yeah, Daddy, I know. The church has no money." Did you hear Brother Gus Harter when he preached about full-time in the ministry? "Yes, Daddy." I said to him, "Son, Brother Gus says, if the church is able, then you can be a full-time in the ministry." He said, "Daddy, I know God, church is not able, but God is able."
Amen.
"To support me."
Amen.
I was shocked that time when my son arrived in the Philippines from his work in abroad. And then, "Daddy, I'm here. I will surrender my life to the Lord as a full-time minister." Me and my wife, his wife is a registered nurse, and he is willing to help Brother Paul in his ministry in the Philippines and his two little daughters. That time, I said, "Son, you need to stay here in the church. You need to live here inside the church. After 2 years, we will send you. We need to pray first. And you need to prove yourself that you are called of God."
Amen.
"For 2 years here inside the church. You must imagine that you are a pastor here inside the church. And I'm not your pastor. You are the pastor here. Now, you can do what the Lord wants you to do. In order for this church, believe that you are called of God." For 2 years, he stayed in our church, in our church building. Your CR, restroom. We call it CR, means comfort room in the Philippines. Because if we go there, we find comfort. Especially, so the size of your restroom that Brother Paul lived, I think thrice that size they live there. They live in one bed for 2 years. I told him, "Son, we have no money, as I've told you before. You must ask God and pray." So for 2 years, he had a lot of works to do in the church. He go on visitation, Bible studies every day. And then the church moved by God to support him little by little. And he survived. And then after 2 years, last 2017, I think January, we ordain him, and then we send him out. It is first month in that particular place when he think that the Lord called him there, he started the work there. He started walking and talking to some people. He started nothing. Like Abraham, he don't know where to go, but God leads him.
Amen.
He talked people every day, 200 people every day. Mm-hmm. And he invite them to have a Bible study, since he has no place for them to gather. It's because he has no money to rent a little place for them. What he did is, he gave me a call, "Daddy, can I rent a small house here in Bulacan area, where the place that God called me?" Sure enough, my son, "Okay, find a place." And he found a place that will cost him 3,500 pesos. Maybe in dollars, that is more than $60 or $65 a month. Now, he started inviting people in his house. For the first week, those 200 people that he invited, no one is come. Even single person, except his family, they worship. Brother Paul, his wife, and his two daughters. They sing, they worship the Lord. And then after that, he said to his wife, "We need to go out and share the gospel again and again." Another week, he invited again more people, promised to come to his place of worship, but no one is coming. Third week, zero again. Fourth week, it almost he needs to be surrendered. He said, "Daddy, until now, we have no conversion until now. So, what's your plan, my son? Do you want to quit? Do you want to go back home and help me in the church?" "No, Daddy, just give me little time." So before a month is out, he go to one store, a little store, and he say, "May I buy one bottle of soft drinks?" The owner of that store gazing at him, and he said, "Who are you?" He said, "I'm Primitive Baptist minister. The Lord called me here to preach and to start a new ministry here in your place. Do you have someone? Do you have members?" "No, I'm just looking for the Lord's elect, for the Lord's children." And the owner of that house said, "Would you like to consider us in your plan?" He said, "Yeah, why not?" So that couples, they offered their place, which is their garage. I saw there in your bulletin board at the back. That is true. It's ugly. You cannot bear that kind of place. I visit that place and then I go out because it's ugly. "You mean, Brother Paul, you will rent this place and you want to gather the Lord's people here?" He said, "Yes, Daddy. Yes, Dad." "Okay, it's up to you, my son." After that, every day, he go out and preach the gospel. At the same time, he worked out that small garage, little by little. And then after 1 year in his ministry, he got a lot of people there. Almost every month, he baptized people.
Amen.
Most of them are Catholic. It's hard for them to invite in the church because they are Catholic. They are religious, very religious. You know what? Most of his attenders, If they attend to Brother Paul's church, they worship there, and then the afternoon they will go to Catholic church every Sunday. You know what? He didn't attack the religion.
Amen.
No, he preached the gospel. Until such time, these people decided to be baptized. And then, they said, Elder Paul, can we attend to Catholic church? It's up to you, if you want. We're satisfied here. We'll not go out and go to Catholic church. And then, when the priest there noticed that his member, they always attend to Brother Paul's church, he wants to meet Brother Paul. And then, he go to Brother Paul. Brother Paul, I heard that most of my members attend to your church. He said, yeah. So they talk to each other. They talk. Then after that, well, Brother Paul, if some of our members wants to attend to your church, I have no problem with you. Since you are my friend, you did not attack us. He didn't attack Catholic Church. What he need to preach is the gospel. So now, Brother Paul getting bigger. His height is, I think, 5'11", and he's getting bigger now, because the way that his member treat him, is like when he visit his member now, they lay down sumptuous food. They treat Paul like a Catholic priest, what they did before to their priest. So that's the reason, Daddy, I eat alone in a big table, a lot of foods. Is that true, my son? Yeah. If you want to know this, just come with me and let us visit my members. Oh, that's true. They set a lot of food on the table. And if you go there to visit with Paul, you'll be getting bigger every day because of a lot of food that it set. Now I ask my son, now they have air condition. Most of his support he gave to the Lord, and then to have an air condition. Because along his church is along the road. Every time he preached, they didn't understand what he's saying, even though they heard in a native language. Because of the noise of the vehicle that are passing by. So what he need to do is to close his church and to have an air condition. And most of his support goes to that place. Now it's beautiful. You will not notice that. Unlike before, it's ugly. But now we're praying, and then the prayers was answered. Amen. We bought a piece of land near to his church. And that is, I think, that is 10,000 plus square foot. Or in meters, 1,000 square meters. So we bought it last December. So I thought to Brother Paul that now you have a beautiful place. Maybe later on you need to move to our future building. Now that place that we bought is very strategic place. And then last January we built some fences. We built some fence to that location. And then this coming December we will start digging building foundation. And that's the time we are praying, Brother Paul, I will visit America. Lord willing, just keep on praying because I will copy some of their beautiful building. And then after that, I will talk to the architect for that building. So the architect now draw the whole perspective. And I told Brother Paul, this church building has 500 capacity. He said, Daddy, why is that big? I know you can feel that, my son, by faith. Since you go every day, you can feel that. So, Brother Gus Harter was amazed that time. And he said, Brother Kito, what's your plan for that building? I said, Brother Gus, every time we have conference, most of the Armenians, they criticize us that we have no place for meetings or for preachers' meeting. Every time we have conference here in Metro Manila, we have no place to gather. That's the reason why we bought this kind of piece of property. In order for us, if you visit Philippines every year, we have a place to gather. He said, you bet, Elder Quinto. I don't know what he mean by that. But that's a good news for us. We are so thankful for your support in the Philippines. We don't believe that the Primitive Baptist is anti-mission. And we don't believe that Primitive Baptist is anti-evangelism. If the Church of our Lord Jesus Christ stop evangelizing, they will wait for their dying.
Right. Yes, sir.
So, every time I read the Word of God, it clings to my ears. It always clings to my ears about that my house may be filled.
Amen.
Compel them to come in that my house may be filled. I told to my church, the Brother Paul, as long as there is a room, as long as there is an empty seat, we need to go out. We need to go out. That my house, the Lord said, may be filled. That my house may be filled. Now, this morning, I want to talk to you a short discourse about authority. I don't believe that the church has authority. The Lord Jesus Christ has authority, not the church. But I want to give a short discourse about this. I read a lot of books, especially the Primitive Baptist books, about the authority of Matthew chapter 11 or chapter 28, verses 19 to 20. Let us read our Bible. Read with me in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. It says in verse 18 of chapter 28 of Matthew, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power. He speak about power. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. All authority is given unto me. The reason Christ declares in the midst of his congregation, he said, all powers, all authority is given unto me. Now, the basis of the authority is none other than his death, burial, and resurrection. According to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that he might be made the righteousness of God in him. Now, in 3 hours on the cross of Calvary, or 3 hours on the tree, the Lord Jesus Christ experienced the pangs of hell in the 3 hours of darkness.
Amen.
And I saw the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, Lord, if this possible, this cup pass from me. I know the cup, it symbolizes fellowship. The cup instead of wine. The psalm said, the dregs, not the wine.
Amen.
The dregs. Which means, you cannot bear it. You cannot drink it because of its dregs. But 3 hours of darkness he bare on the tree. For the sin of his people. When he redeemed his people there,
yes, sir.
He said, it is finished. I believe in the doctrine of redemption that redeemed.
Yes, sir.
We don't believe in the doctrine of redemption that does not redeem. Now in 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 18, Christ also had once suffered for sin, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Now Christ redeems us from the curse of the law, according to Galatians 3 verse 13, being made a curse for us, for it is written, curse is everyone that hung it on a tree.
Yes, sir.
Now, what is the law says? When Galatians 3:13 says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. What is the curse of the law? The law said, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. But Christ hath redeemed us from the law, curse of the law. He died instead of us. He died on our place.
Amen.
He redeemed us. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 20, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the firstfruit of them that sleep.
Yes.
Once again, one time, Brother Don and I talks about the firstfruit. He asked me about the principle of first fruit behind. Now, it says in 1 Corinthians verse 23, but everyone in his own order, Christ the first fruit.
Amen.
Afterwards, they are at Christ at his coming.
Amen.
Now, the first fruit here is not the harvest. It is the promise of the harvest.
Amen.
That's a basic principle of the first fruit. If Christ is risen from the dead, those who are asleep will be risen.
Amen.
From the dead.
Yes, sir.
Now, Romans chapter 8, verse 23 says, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruit of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption to it, the redemption of the body. Now, this about the first fruit of the Holy Spirit. What is the first fruit of the Holy Spirit? And I believe that the first fruit of the Holy Spirit is our regeneration.
Amen.
And after that, some other fruits will be coming.
Yes,
after regeneration. Now, Christ Jesus said, all power is given unto me. This is not delegated power. It is Christ's own power.
Amen.
Some believe that the church has power because of Christ bestowed that power or delegated that power. I think Christ did not delegate his power to his church.
Amen.
He wants his church to act to that power.
Yes.
And he wants to strengthen his church, not by giving his power. He wants to strengthen it. Christ said, upon this rock I will build, which is oikodemo, to strengthen. I will strengthen my church.
Yes.
And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, the church, they act to that power. They carry that the strength of Christ when they go out. Now, because the church in their situation, according to the book of Isaiah chapter 40 verse 3, it says, the voice of him that cried in the wilderness, Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Now, brethren, this was prophesied by the prophet of Isaiah. And this was 700 years before Christ was born. Here's the prophet speak about the primitive Baptist who will baptize Jesus Christ, who will baptize the apostles, who will baptize the first member of the primitive Baptist in Jerusalem.
Amen.
Hello, are you still there? I'm sorry for my English. It's very not good. Because every Sunday when I preach in our church, I use purely our own native language. But when we go here, it repents me. I remember that word, repentance. Every day we hit the road and we got up. Oh, Brother Quito, it's too late. We need to exit here. Oh, Brother Don, we need to repent. We need to turn around. We use repentance in our daily trip. 700 years before Christ was born. After 300 years, Prophet Malachi spoke about the Baptist, the forerunner of Christ, after 300 years. And then Prophet Malachi, after the book of Matthew, it was estimated 400 years, year of silence. Now, Apostle Matthew break that silence in Matthew chapter 3, verse 1. In those days came John the Baptist. Christ's forerunner was called by his father, the Baptist. Amen?
Amen.
It was not from man. It was from God.
Amen.
Now, beloved brethren, the name Baptist, I believe, the forerunner of Jesus Christ was called by his father, the Baptist.
Amen.
Is it fake? Or is it original Baptist?
Yes,
is it genuine Baptist? If that is so, he is primitive Baptist.
Amen.
Matthew says, this is he. No, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. This is he which was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah. Matthew confirmed that the prophecy of Malachi and Isaiah is fulfilled.
Yes, sir.
When he came to Jesus Christ, when he came to John the Baptist, I believe Christ, the time he walked 60 miles to get baptized,
amen.
Baptism.
Amen.
60 miles. How many miles do we travel from Arkansas to here? It took us 18 hours drive. He walked 60 miles to get baptism or primitive Baptist baptism.
Amen.
John said to the Lord Jesus Christ, "No, Lord, no." Christ said, suffer it to be so now.
Yes.
John, suffer it to be so now.
Mm-hmm.
The voice from heaven says, this is my beloved son.
Amen.
In whom I am well pleased. Every time we baptize people, we never heard the voice from heaven that this is my beloved son.
Mercy.
And the Holy Spirit. What a blessed moment.
Amen.
Every time we baptize the people,
yes,
the children of God, in His kingdom.
Amen.
Matthew 16, I will build my church. after Christ's baptism. In Acts chapter 1, verses 21 up to 22, John the Baptist baptized disciples, the apostles. And after that, Christ says, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel." Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Teaching them all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always. Church, this is primitive Baptist church.
Amen.
Baptizing people, go into the world and preach. This trip, when we are in your highly primitive Baptist in Dallas, the church is already closed for 2 weeks. When we visited inside the house of worship, you will smell the loneliness, the sadness of those people before they close. They said, "We have only 3 members. They are old members. This church has no future. That's the reason why we will close it." That's sad. When we are in Virginia, one minister there said, he talked to me privately. He said, "Elder Quinto, our youngest member here is 65 years old. And me, almost more than 80 years old. I don't know what's the future of this church. I don't know. Keep us in your prayer." I was sad that time.
Yes.
And I go to some churches which having no pastor, no shepherd. But there's a preacher, but not a pastor. There's a vast or great differences between preacher and the pastor.
Yes.
Preacher is not mentioned in the book of Corinthians, but the pastor. Pastor is scriptural.
Amen.
Now, beloved brethren, I always ask Elder Don Paris about that. Why is it here? Churches has no pastor. They have good buildings. Your building is nice. Good. How is it no one is pastoring the church?
Mm-hmm.
Well, in the Philippines, most of the members there, they want to be a pastor. Here, if you talk to some members, "Oh, maybe you are called, do you have any plan to be a pastor?" "Oh, no. They are always wagging their heads. But in the Philippines, I think, brother, you can be a pastor. "Really? Oh, that is the blessed task. I like it."
Amen.
Now, I ask Brother Don, why is it some of the churches has no pastor? Since if the church is the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's the head of that body, he will not bear long that the church, that his body has no pastor.
Mm-hmm.
Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 11, we can find the answer why some churches have no pastor. Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 11 says, "And the Lord said unto me, the backsliding Israel has justified herself more than treacherous Judah."
Mm-hmm.
Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 12, "Go and proclaim these words toward the north, and say, return, thou backsliding Israel, saith the Lord, and I will not cause my anger to fall upon you, for I am merciful, saith the Lord, and I will not keep anger forever." He said that in verse 13, he said, only acknowledge thine iniquity. Thou hast transgressed against the Lord thy God, and hast scattered thy ways to the strangers. under every green tree, and you have not obeyed my voice, saith the Lord. It says in verse 14, turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I am married unto you, and I will take you one of a city, and two of a family, and I will bring you to Zion. It says in verse 15, and I will give you a pastor according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. In our days, many primitive Baptist members, sometimes, though not all of them, idolizing their pastor. Oh, our pastor is good. When it comes in preaching, there's only one good. That is God.
That's right. Sure. Amen.
God said, there shall be no other gods before me. Colossians chapter 1, verse 18, it says, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead.
Yes.
And in all things, he might have, what? The preeminence.
Amen.
Not the pastor, not the deacons have preeminence over the church.
Right.
Not the pastor, not the church have preeminence, but the Lord Jesus Christ have the preeminence over the body.
Amen.
Every time you worship, the Lord Jesus Christ walk in the midst of the church.
Uh-huh.
In his hand, he walk.
Amen.
The angels in his hand.
Yes.
And I know the angel is the messenger.
Yes.
The pastor of your church.
Yes.
He walks in the midst of the church. He always visited his church. Now, the church, the New Testament church, the primitive Baptist church in the New Testament, they act, they go. But the Lord Jesus Christ says, wait until the Holy Spirit come. You shall be witnesses unto me in Judea, Samaria, and all the uttermost part of the earth. Now, the book of Acts, they, especially the non-primitive Baptists. Before I joined the primitive Baptists, they said, Brother Quinto, primitive Baptists has only one service every Sunday. It's not good. Why? I told them why. They call it the Lord's Day, not the Lord's half day.
Yeah. Amen.
Why they worship half day, not all day? I told them, I have no problem with that because we worship for whole day. But I don't know about that. Some of them worship. They gather once a month. Some of them are not evangelizing. Go to America, you will see them. No, I don't believe. The mere fact that the primitive Baptist is in the Philippines, they believe in evangelism.
Amen.
The fact that they visited us here, and outreaches are coming,
yes,
and churches is constituted everywhere,
yes,
they believe in evangelism. I don't believe you, brother.
Amen.
Oh, they're hard shell. Yeah, I admit that. But non-primitive Baptist is not hard shell. They are soft shell.
Mm-hmm.
We are hard shell.
Mercy.
Now, the first primitive Baptist in the book of Acts, they act in the New Testament. In the New Testament, it tells the story how the Lord's church spread like wildfire from Jerusalem, where Jesus died and rose from the dead, to Samaria, to Syria, to Greece, to Rome, and beyond. Yes. Now, beloved brethren, I believe the Holy Spirit is interested in number.
Uh-huh.
Because every time when you read the book of Acts, He numbered them all.
Yes, sir.
The movement spread to Antioch. Today we read a part of the story that describes another decisive steps in the spread of the primitive Baptist Church of God, the Lord's Church, and is found in Acts chapter 11. But before that, in Acts chapter 1, verse 15, it says, in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciple and said, the number of names together were about 120. Hello? 120. In Acts chapter 2, verse 41 says, then they gladly received his word, were baptized, and the same day, there were added unto them about 3,000 souls.
Amen.
In Acts chapter 2, verse 42, it says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayers. The word and they, that is 120 and 3,000 souls.
Yeah.
Now in Acts chapter 2 verse 47 it says, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved.
Amen.
Now tell me, if the primitive Baptists do not believe in evangelism, how come? This is the first Amen. Church that acts that Christ is strengthening them in every evangelistic Amen. Endeavors.
Yeah.
In Acts chapter 4, verse 4, it says, howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. Men! It says, the number of men. Men excluding women. That is 5,000. In Acts chapter 5, verse 14 says, and believers were the more added to the Lord. Multitudes, both men and women.
Uh-huh.
Now, the church is great multitudes, great throngs, great numbers.
Yes.
In Acts chapter 5, verse 42, it says, in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach the Lord Amen. Jesus Christ.
Amen.
This is the first century primitive Baptist.
Uh-huh.
History tells us that the church in Jerusalem exceeded 100,000 in numbers.
Mercy.
Acts chapter 6, verse 1, in those days when the number of the disciples were multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecian against the believers, against the Hebrew, because their widows were neglected in their daily ministration. Now God changed. In those days when the number of the disciples were multiplied.
Yes.
Now God changes. God changes His form of arithmetics from addition to multiplication.
Amen. Okay. Amen.
Good. That is primitive Baptist. Chapter 7. Stephen being falsely accused, and Stephen is stoned to death, and the church started persecuted. Chapter 8 we saw, and chapter 9, chapter 10, the salvation of Enoch, Paul, and Cornelius. Apostle Paul, I remember one time when he said in Romans chapter 1, verses 14 up to 16, I am a debtor. Verse 15, I'm ready. Verse 16, I'm not ashamed to preach the gospel, for it's the power of God to salvation to them that believe it.
Yes. Amen.
It says, I'm not ashamed. Are you? Paul says, I am not ashamed. Before he said that, I am a debtor. I'm ready. I'm not ashamed.
Amen.
Why would Paul even be tempted to be ashamed of the gospel as he contemplated his trip to Rome? Why would even Paul be tempted? For one thing, the gospel was identified with a poor Jewish carpenter who was crucified and hung on a tree. Because the Romans during that time had no special appreciation for the Jews.
Right.
And crucifixion was the lowest form of execution given in a criminal. They said, why you put your faith in a Jew who was crucified? Rome was a proud city, and the gospel came from Jerusalem, the capital city of one of the little nation that Rome had conquered.
Yeah.
And the Christian during that time, the disciple during that time, were not among the elite of society. They were common people and even slaves.
Yeah.
And Rome had many great philosophers and philosophies. They will say, why pay you attention to a fable about a Jew who rose from the dead? And Christians look each other as brothers and sisters, all one in Christ, which went against the grain of Roman pride and dignity. And to think of a little Jewish tent maker going to Rome to preach such a message is almost humorous.
Yeah.
But Paul was not ashamed of the gospel.
Amen.
He had the confidence in his message, and he gave us reason why he was debtor and why he was not ashamed.
Mm-hmm.
Because he knew that the origin of the gospel, it is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Romans chapter 1 verse 1, it is the gospel of God. It was centered in his Son, Jesus Christ. And the operation of that gospel is, it's the power of God. Why be ashamed of the gospel? Why be ashamed of the gospel? If the center of the gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection.
Amen.
All the primitive Baptists, they believe the triumphant of Jesus Christ on Calvary.
Yes, sir.
The question is, why be ashamed of that gospel?
Mercy.
He had seen the gospel work in other wicked cities such as Corinth,
yes,
and Ephesus. And Paul was confident that it would work in Rome.
Yes.
It had transformed his own life. And he knew it could transform the lives of others.
Amen.
The outcome of this gospel is it is the power of God unto salvation. Mm-hmm. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 5. It says, "For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake."
Amen.
The gospel is not in word only, but as power.
Amen.
Paul said, "The letter killeth,
yes,
but the Spirit gives life."
Yes, sir.
It, the power of God and salvation. Meaning, salvation means deliverance.
Mm-hmm.
The gospel, we believe, is that the instrument by which sinners are born again. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 18, "For the preaching of the cross is unto them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." But though the gospel is not the means of regeneration, it is instrumental in discipleship.
Yes.
He said unto them in Mark 16, verse 15, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You mean, Elder Quinto, every creature? Can I preach the gospel to my dogs? No. Scripture, when we interpret scripture from scripture, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says that, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature.
Right.
All things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new."
Yes.
The creature there is none other than them be in Christ.
Amen.
Now, the gospel is very important. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ says, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel." We need to understand what is the true gospel and what the gospel means. Because during the days of Paul, there is another kind of gospel. There is another gospel. In Galatians chapter 1, verse 6, "When I was in Landmark Missionary Baptist, I thought that we preach a true gospel. Maybe some Armenians, they believe that the gospel that they carried and preached is the true gospel. I'm not surprised, because during the days of Paul, there are some preachers who preach another gospel." It says in Galatians chapter 1 verse 6, "I marvel that are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Jesus Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that troubled you and would pervert the gospel of Jesus Christ." Pervert means twisted, reverse. In verses 6 to 7, Paul used two different Greek adjectives. The first adjective is heteros, meaning another of a different kind. Second is allos, means another of the same kind. Then, according to Apostle Paul, true gospel is that the eternal salvation of man is altogether of divine grace, apart from religious and human merit works of every kind. Amen?
Amen.
Maybe some of you are sleeping. You hear me? Hello? I know you are hearing me. So the Bible emphasizes areas in which why we need to preach and teach the true gospel. It gives us some reasons. First, the gospel is the means of believing in Jesus Christ. Consider the language of the Lord Jesus Christ in John 17 verse 20. It says, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me from their words. So our Lord indicates that belief in him comes by means of the preached word. And Paul confirmed this truth in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 5. It says, who then is Paul? Or who is Apollos? But minister by whom you believe, even as the Lord gave to every man. Again, it is clear that the Corinthians' belief came by the means of the ministry of the word. Apart from that word, there will be no primitive Baptist church at Corinth, confessing faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. In John chapter 20, verse 31 teaches that belief in Christ comes through the words. It says, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. This plainly indicates that believing in Jesus Christ as the Son of God comes by means of the things that are written in the Word of God. So the gospel, the pure purpose of the gospel, therefore, might be defined as follows. The gospel is the means by which a regenerated individual is brought to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Second, the gospel is the instrument of repentance and conversion. Repentance and conversion do not occur automatically at regeneration, but depend upon exposure and response to the gospel. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9, it says, Paul reminded the Thessalonian church that of their early Christian experience. It says, for they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. So you will notice they turn both from idols, that is repentance, and to God, that is conversion. It was a remarkable reversal of direction. It is important to notice why they made such a radical shift in paradigm. For our gospel came not unto you in words only, but also in power, and you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word. It was Apostle Paul's preaching of the gospel, his entering in unto them, that proved instrumental in their repentance and conversion to the true gospel worship in spirit and in truth. Another thing, gospel is instrumental in our daily growth in grace. Just as physical growth and development depends on proper nutrition. I remember one time, I don't know what year is that, when we experienced sickness in the Philippines, I wrote an email to Brother Neil Palan, Brother Neil, what's the best vitamins? He said, Brother Quinto, this is. Well, I will send you some. Thank you so much, brother. I didn't forget that. Physical growth and development depends on proper nutrition. And where such is lacking, growth is stunted. So spiritual growth and progress in holiness depends on the external means of the word. Jesus prayed, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Now, beloved brethren, Peter taught, he said, sincere milk of the word, that the newborn babe in Christ grows, in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. So practical sanctification, that is daily growth in grace, then is not guaranteed as a divine decree. It is significant that Paul does not list practical sanctification among the five certainties of Romans chapter 8, verse 29. So to claim that the every heirs of grace will grow in grace compels one to concede that every heir of grace will hear and obey the gospel. For Scripture asserts that growth in grace is by means of exposure and implementation of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
That's right.
So, the gospel is instrumental in delivering God's children from error to truth, despair to hope, temptations to victory, worldliness to godliness, and fear to trust in God. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 1, it says, comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Before Isaiah pronounced the coming of the Baptist preacher, during his time, he prophesied, he said in verse 1, before verse 3, comfort ye, my people, saith your God. In verse 2, speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, and that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sin.
Yes, sir.
So the New Testament calls such deliverance salvation. Primitive Baptist characteristically refers to those verses that use the verb to save. In this sense, is time or conditional time salvation.
Yeah.
1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 and 2 uses the verb to save in this temporal and conditional sense. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preach unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I have preached unto you. So the salvation in this sense, or in this verse, is unquestionably conditional. Being saved in the memory of the gospel, knowing the things we remember can deliver us from troubles that are coming. It is not guaranteed to all the elect or to all the children of God. It is contingent on the retention of the gospel message. This salvation is by means of the gospel, indicating that those who have access to the gospel enjoy and experience this kind of deliverance.
Amen.
And apart from the instrumentality of the gospel, of the gospel message, therefore, and a cognitive retention of that glorious message, an individual will not experience this salvation. The question is, do all God's children or God's elect people hear and receive the gospel? That is to say, do they embrace, do they all embrace the good news of Jesus Christ and in Him crucified? Consequently, those sincere Christians of other denomination, people who embrace general atonement and a free will system of eternal salvation, do not believe the gospel of Jesus Christ, but a different gospel.
Mm-hmm.
Does that indicate that they are not among God's children? Does that indicate that they are not among God's children? No. It does mean, however, that they do not enjoy gospel salvation. The freedom, the peace, and that who enjoy by those who hear and knows the good news of Christ and in Him crucified is a benefit enjoyed by only some of God's children here. How that privilege then that should prompt us to want to save by some, by circulating, teaching, and preaching this glorious gospel. Well, before we enter here, I saw an article there. I want to grab it. It's free. But I need some permission of your, to the, your pastor. I told to myself, I need this to the Philippines. We will circulate this. I will ask Brother Neil, I will ask Brother Sunny about this, if he wants to circulate that in the Philippines. Apostle Paul's great longing was that his kindred might experience the same kind of gospel deliverance from ignorance to truth.
Amen.
That he had experienced. He says in Romans chapter 10, verse 1, may his heart, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. May his heart's desires be ours as well.
Amen.
Again, sonship, that is eternal salvation, does not depend on the use of external means or instrument.
Right.
God works directly and immediately in making a person one of his children. If then sonship is immediate and discipleship is mediated by the gospel, how important then is the teaching and preaching of the gospel? It says it is the power of God and salvation to everyone that believeth. May we never be guilty of either overstating the importance of the teaching and preaching of the gospel by making it the instrument of eternal life, or of minimizing its importance by the suggestion that belief in Christ, repentance, and spiritual growth automatically occur as a result of regeneration. Christ says to his church, to his bride, to his wife, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. He says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always,
Amen.
Even unto the end of the world. The church of God, never alone.
Amen.
Never alone. He says, as the church acts to Christ's command, they go and preach, they baptize. In John chapter 14, verse 18, he says, I will not leave you comfortless. Mm-hmm. I will come to you. Remember, Revelation chapter 2, verse 5. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, when the Lord Jesus Christ visited the church of Ephesus. He says, remember from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works.
Amen.
What is the first work of the church? What is the first work of the Ephesian church that he's talking about? After their baptism, what do they do? They preach the gospel.
Amen.
Remember the do the first word, or else,
mm-hmm.
I will come unto you, unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. The candlestick is there, but Christ said, I will come unto thee quickly, and remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. Christ said, teaching them all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you.
Thank you for visiting Harmony Primitive Baptist Church.